First of all, Brahma created from his shadow the coverings of ignorance of the conditioned souls. They are five in number and are called Dhammishra, Andhatamishra, Tamas, Moha, and Mahamoha. So before reading the purport, these are brought up also in chapter 12. There's the same list there, and they're described as the nescient engagements created by Brahma. There they're called self-deception, sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception or forgetfulness of one's real identity. So this gets really technical. You guys down for this, or should I just skip all the technical stuff? You guys... Chapter 12, third canto, chapter 12, text 2. And there's that painting that Jadarani did of Brahma creating everything, and then up above him it shows the five guys. Self-deception. Anyone remember what's in that painting? There's a guy smoking a cigarette. Self-deception. And it's a reference, Prabhupada saying, he was commenting on cool cigarettes. They're smoking, they're breathing in, breathing in fire, and they're saying it's cool. Self-deception. They're deceiving themselves, thinking that it's a cool thing to do, to smoke a cigarette. And also with the menthol, it tastes kind of cool. But they're breathing in smoke. They're deceiving themselves. But getting into this a little bit, then when we study this purport, the purport makes a lot more sense when we go over it. So in that chapter 12, description of these same things. At the end, Prabhupada says, it is simply ludicrous to think the living entity to be equal with the Supreme Being when one can understand the conditioned souls are under the influence of Brahma's magic wand. So Prabhupada calls these things Brahma's magic wand, the illusion that we're under these five kinds of illusion. Then he goes on, Patanjali also accepts that there are five kinds of nescience, as mentioned herein. So that is from the Yoga Sutras. Patanjali wrote the Yoga Sutras, and he uses a little different language to describe these five things, and a little different order given. Here Prabhupada goes with the order given in the verse, because he says agrata, first of all, tamishra, which Prabhupada says means anger, because we're angry at Krishna for not being on equal terms with Krishna, is the way Prabhupada describes it. He says that's the first thing. Other places, they give a different order. The Yoga Sutras and other places, it starts with tamas, or avidya, the tendency to consider unreality as reality. Okay, see who can remember all five of these. Tamas, avidya, the tendency to consider unreality as reality, darkness, ignorance, illusion. Moha asmita, moha, illusion of being the current body. So moha, and the other word used is asmita. Maha moha refers to raga, or an intense desire for material enjoyment. Asmita. Asmita. Yeah. moha, the illusion of being the current body, asmita. And all of these things, okay, really technical here, all of these things are addressed in the verse, bhayam dvitiya viniveshata syad, viparyayas asmriti, tanmaya yato budiravajitam bhaktyaika yesho gurudeva tatma. Yeah, so all of these five things are addressed in that verse. Bhayam dvitiya, fear comes when we see things dvitiya as separate from Krishna. And all of this can be resolved by accepting devotional service, bhaktyaika yesham gurudeva tatma. Okay, yeah, I did some research on this, but I know it gets really technical and without charts and spending 2 hours and building it all up. So tamas, the tendency to consider unreality as reality. Moha, the illusion of being the current body. Maha moha, the intense desire for material enjoyment. You kind of see the progression. First there's darkness. You're accepting unreality to be reality. Tamas. Then moha, you've come under the illusion, I am my body. Maha moha means, now, because I'm my body, I want to enjoy it. The next one is tamishra, anger or hatred. Because when you have desires, you become angry. Tamishra, and in Yoga Sutras, it's dvesha. Then anda tamishra, the fear of death, considering that as the end. Anda tamishra. Okay, here we go. And this whole section is kind of a puzzle because several verses back, Vidura asks a question. Does anyone remember what his question was? He asks, how did the Prajapatis create? And how did they evolve this universe? Was it with their respective wives independently, or did they all jointly produce it? And so Maitreya answers by saying, when the equilibrium of the combination of the three modes of nature was agitated by the unseen activity of the living entity, by Mahavishnu and by the force of time, the total material elements were produced. And then he goes on this whole long chapter describing the whole creation. And like, I know Maitreya is not some absent-minded professor kind of guy. There must be some reason why he's giving this whole explanation for this question. It's kind of like if you ask me, how did you get to the temple? And then I reply by giving the whole history of internal combustion engines, the social economic structure for creating roads, and the infrastructure for extracting, refining fuel and distributing it. And, you know, how did you get to the temple? Well, back in So this chapter appears to me kind of like that. Why is he going there? So anyway, I put out these questions. I have a lot of questions. When I read, it creates more questions. Yes, it's coming up. But with this introduction, it makes the purport more interesting, how he's addressing these questions. Otherwise, I'll end up reading the purport 2 or 3 times in the whole class. Which I don't have a problem with. But if you just go through it the first time, it's like, just sounds very technical. Another thing is, if the whole purpose of the creation is for us to come back to Krishna, why does he create all of these illusions? Why is he making it so hard for us? If Krishna wants us back, sometimes it seems like he's not a very good communicator. He's really like, where are you? Why are you making this so hard? But Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And if we approach Srimad Bhagavatam with questions, ultimately the questions will be answered. So it's always good to enter into this with some kind of question or prayer. So the five things, it's a different order given in other places. First is tama, which is accepting non-real things to be real. Next one is moha, which is illusion of... Yes. Yes, that's the way it is here in this verse. And then at the end... Yes, tamishra. Yes. And Prabhupada, what's interesting is this way, tama, moha, what's next? Tama, moha, what's next? Tell me. Maha, moha. Because of the illusion of being the body, I want to enjoy the body. Prabhupada touches on all of that, and it ends up being this same order, although he's presenting it in this order, saying this is the first. He's saying this is the most important. It's interesting the way he presents it. Okay, then the next one is tamishra, anger or hatred toward the Lord, because I'm trying to enjoy, I have this body, I want to enjoy it, and I'm frustrated. Why isn't he allowing this? And then andatamishra, fear of death. Okay, here we go. Prabhupada's purport. The conditioned souls, or living entities, who come to the material world to enjoy sense gratification are covered in the beginning by five different conditions. The first condition is a covering of tamishra, or anger. Interesting how he starts off with that one. Constitutionally, each and every living entity has minute independence. It is misuse of that minute independence for the conditioned soul to think that he can also enjoy like the Supreme Lord, or to think, why shall I not be free, be a free enjoyer like the Supreme Lord? This forgetfulness of his constitutional position is due to anger or envy. The living entity being eternally a part and parcel servitor of the Supreme Lord, can never, by constitution, be an equal enjoyer with the Lord. When he forgets this, however, and tries to be one with him, his condition is called tamishra. Even in the field of spiritual realization, this tamishra mentality of the living entity is hard to overcome. In trying to get out of the entanglement of material life, there are many who want to be one with the Supreme. Even in their transcendental activities, this lower grade mentality of tamishra continues. Andatamishra involves considering death to be the ultimate end. The atheists generally think that the body is the self and that everything is therefore ended with the end of the body. Thus, they want to enjoy material life as far as possible during the existence of the body. Their theory is, as long as you live, you should live prosperously. Never mind whether you commit all kinds of so-called sins, you must eat sumptuously. Beg, borrow, and steal. And if you think that by stealing and borrowing, you are being entangled in sinful activities for which you will have to pay, then just forget that misconception, because after death, everything is finished. So, who is that a reference to? It's actually one of the Munis, Charvaka Muni, his philosophy. Prabhupada refers to him saying, both in a positive and a negative way. Negative way is what we just read. The positive way is, he says, beg, borrow, or steal, somehow get ghee. So he's saying ghee is, that's, if you've got ghee, you're enjoying life. And so there's no guarantee that there will be a future life. So forget about moralities or responsibility. No one is responsible for anything he does during his life. End of quote. So that's their theory is, as long as you live, you should live prosperously. Then all the things, never mind. No one is responsible for anything he does during his life. This atheistic conception of life is killing human society, for it is without knowledge of the continuation of eternal life. So far we've covered tamisra, anger, andatamisra, fear of death. And the fear of death, Prabhupada says, brings about this atheistic idea. After death, everything is finished. As long as you live, you should live prosperously. No one is responsible for anything he does during his life. Okay, so we've covered two so far. He's still... All right, next paragraph. This andatamisra, ignorance, is due to tamas. The condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul is called tamas. This material world is also generally called tamas because 99% of its living entities are ignorant of their identity as soul. Almost everyone is thinking that he is this body. He has no information of the spirit soul. Guided by this misconception, one always thinks, this is my body, and anything in relationship with this body is mine. For such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of material existence. Actually, the conditioned souls in ignorance in this material world are simply guided by sex life. And as soon as they get the opportunity for sex life, they become attracted to so-called home, motherland, children, wealth, and opulence. So what's that a reference to? What's that? Attached, it says. Become attached. Yeah. Did I say read it wrong? Attached to so-called home, motherland, children, wealth, and opulence. As these attachments increase, moha, or the illusion of the bodily concept of life, also increases. So that's a reference to a shloka. Janasyam ahoyam aham mameti. How does that one start? Pungsastriya mitoni bhavam etam tayor mito hridaya grantim ahu. Yeah. Yeah. And so here it is. Practically the whole verse is translated. Prabhupada just weaves it in to his presentation of tamas. That's what we're discussing now. Andatamisra is due to tamas, the condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul. So under that misconception, guided by that misconception, one always thinks, this is my body. Anything in relationship with this body is mine. For such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of material existence. And then punksha sthriya mitoni bhava metam. When one becomes attached to a woman, they have family, then become attached to atta, griha, a home, kshetra. Prabhupada translates it here as motherland. Atta, griha, kshetra, sutta, children, apta, vitai, wealth, opulence. All these attachments increase moha, or the illusion of the bodily concept of life. Also increases, thus the idea that I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine also increases. And as the whole world is put into moha, sectarian societies Families and nationalities are created and they fight with one another. Okay, so that was tamas and moha again. Mahamoha means to be mad after material enjoyment, especially in this age of Kali. Everyone is overwhelmed by the madness to accumulate paraphernalia for material enjoyment. These definitions are very nicely given in Vishnu Purana, wherein it is said. And then there's another verse which says pretty much what this one says. Tamo viveko moha syad. So this list also begins with tama. Tama means avivek. So vivek means to discern, to discriminate one thing from the other. Prabhupada uses the term what is what. He knows what is what. He uses that a few times in his purports. When somebody did something, Vasishta cursed one of his disciples. And Prabhupada said, this shows that he doesn't know what is what. His disciple made a mistake. So vivek means to know what is what. And here is tamo avivek. So you don't know what is what. Moha syad anta karana vibrama. Let's see, anta means internal, karana doing, vibrama, bewildered internally. Maha mohas tu vigyeo gramya bhoga sukhaisana. So maha moha means gramya bhoga sukha. So gramya means village. Boga, sukha, happiness of enjoying things, mahamoha. So it's giving it in that order that I mentioned before. Maranam, hyandatam ishram. So maranam is death, andatam ishram. Tamishram, krodha, uchyate. Everyone get that one? Krodha, what does that mean? Anger. Tamishram, krodham. Uchyate, avidya pancha paravaisha. So what does that mean? Avidya, ignorance, pancha, five. Avidya pancha paravaisha pradur bhuta mahatmanas. All of these were created by the great soul Brahma. We made it through the purport. How's everybody doing? You're still with us? Good, okay. Pushing through the five, the pancha, avidya pancha. how these work, we identification. There's a story I heard. Burijan was talking about how he was in Hong Kong with his wife and Prabhupada came to visit. And you can just imagine, like when you're in a remote place like Hong Kong in the early 70s, just a little tiny temple, and like if any devotee's going to come and visit, that's a great big event. Just to see another devotee. And what to speak of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada came. And he really encouraged them, you know, working from their outpost there in Hong Kong. And Brijan's wife, they're pretty recently married, Jagatarani. Is that right? Jagatarini. She had been an actress and a model, and she was surprised when Prabhupada made a reference to the green room, which is where the actors go to get dressed. And then he started talking about being in a play himself. He spoke on a verse from the second canto. I couldn't find a recording of that class. I don't find any recordings of Prabhupada giving lectures in Hong Kong, but Burijan says, the verse was, how does the living entity identify with matter? And Prabhupada says, you come to just think this is me, just like an actor. And then Prabhupada told his experience of being in a drama. And the producer of the drama said, you're playing this part. Prabhupada played Advaita Acharya. And he said, so Advaita Acharya, what is he thinking? What is he feeling at this time? I want you to feel like that. I want you to think like that. And he said, he didn't tell us what to do. He gave us the lines. He didn't coach us how to act. He just gave us all of these prompts. This is what he's feeling right now. And he said the production was so good that when they completed the whole drama, there was a big stage and an audience, and nobody clapped. And they looked out at the audience, everyone was crying because they were so overwhelmed by it. So Prabhupada gives that example that's how we come into illusion. We play the part, and we identify with the part, and we identify with it so strongly that we become overwhelmed by it. First, it's moha. We start to think, I am this person that I'm acting as. Then maha moha. Well, I want to enjoy like this person that I'm pretending to be. And then tamishra. How come my enjoyment is being frustrated? And then andatamishra, fear of death when the play is almost over. And so at this point, I'm going to quote from Shakespeare. Everyone's heard, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. And so from here I'm going to paraphrase because it's in Shakespeare language. But so seven stages of life, Shakespeare. This is from the play As You Like It. At first, the infant crying and puking in the nurse's arms, and then the whining schoolboy going to school at a snail's pace, the lover, emotional and dramatic, soldier, seeking the bubble of reputation even while facing the mouth of a cannon. The judge, with a round belly full of opinions. The old man, thin, weak, wearing glasses and clothes that don't fit, his voice is fading. And then a return to childhood, helpless again, losing his memory, sight, teeth, and everything else. So seven stages. So we're playing our part, we identify with a part, but we know it's not us. Sometimes I feel like I'm just pretending to be an old man and I'm fooling people. Deep down, I am who I am. But those are the illusions, the five illusions. And how much time do we have? Okay. And yeah, the next verse, Brahma throws off the body of ignorance out of disgust. He doesn't like it. Back in chapter 12, also he expresses how he just feels really awful after creating all of these illusions. In the purport to that one in chapter 12, Prabhupada says, let me see, I've got it here. Before the factual creation of the living entities in different varieties of species, the conditions under which a living being in the material world has to live were created by Brahma. Unless a living entity forgets his real identity, it is impossible for him to live in the material conditions of life. Therefore, the first condition of material existence is forgetfulness of one's real identity. And by forgetting one's real identity, one is sure to be afraid of death, although a pure living soul is deathless and birthless. Okay, just like when you want to enjoy something, usually you turn the lights down. If you want to just enjoy, we all look better under candlelight, in the moonlight. We turn the lights up bright when we're trying to fix something, like a mechanic looking under the car. You need a strong flashlight to find the defect. The surgeon in the hospital, they've got really bright lights. When you're at the dentist, they got that bright light shining in your mouth. He's not trying to make it look pretty. He's trying to find where the problems are. And so for us to make things look right, to overlook the defects, we turn the lights down. So that's tamas, darkness. Need to bring it down. Or in a movie theater. If you walk into a movie theater, everyone's crying, they're really sad, you could just say, hey, let me just turn the lights on. And everyone will say, knock it off, we're watching the movie. We need the darkness to enjoy the movie. They're there to get absorbed in the drama of the movie. So, Brahma creates darkness, as Prabhupada says. Unless a living entity forgets his real identity, it is impossible for him to live in the material conditions of life. Okay, but if we're looking at something really perfect, we can look with a bright light to really, like the deities, we put bright lights on the deities. Looking at Krishna, we want to examine very closely. But the material world, if you want to enjoy it, you don't want bright lights. You don't want to look too closely. You don't want to think too much, or you won't. You won't get it. All right, so at this point, I'll open up and see if there's any discussion. I've got more stuff, but it can get really technical. Anything, anybody? All right. Something else. Here's something else I thought of this morning that. Where is this?
4.29?
4.29.26 in Bhagavatam.
So first we, in the marginal, we misuse our free will. I'm paraphrasing. We are part of Krishna means we have a minute independence. And that independence means a choice. What is good for me, what is not good for me. So we turn away from Krishna, then that relation, that's where this verse, Bhayam Diti of English, secondary world was not there. Manifested when I turned away, then the secondary world manifested. That time, that the soul, this five-layer covering came, from the misuse of free will. So then...
Nobody can hear you.
You can mix with Pundarik Prabhu.
Doesn't seem to be on. A little closer.
So Pundarik Prabhu nicely translated Brahman Vaishnava Samaja Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur lecture in Medinapur. He said very nicely, he said that moment you misuse your free will, apathy to devotional service cause impersonalism. That make every soul to experience loneliness, bored. That's where they want to explore. What else is there? And if we look at everybody in this world, why they do things they do, because they are bored. They feel lonely. They disconnected from Krishna. So this 4.29, 26, I'm not going to give the whole thing, but it's beautiful. Somebody whoever has interest, they should read that part 4.29.
What's going on in that section of Bhagavatam, 4.29? What's... Right. What's the storyline going on in that section?
It's the same with this part. Here you just read.
Right, right.
Kamishra, Andha Kamishra, Tamas, Moha, Moha, Moha. Is the
right.
Sequence.
Who's
perfect. It doesn't need to be rectified or anything. It's perfect the way. But somebody has to fill up the before gap. Then it makes sense how it should.
Yeah. Who is speaking to who in that chapter of Bhagavatam? Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't say how these things are related with the Pum Sam Striyo Vit Maituni Bhavamitam. How is that related with the Mohayam, these five divisions of ignorance?
Prabhupada brings it up in relation to tamas. The condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul is called tamas. This material world is also generally called tamas because 99% of its living entities are ignorant of their identity as soul. Almost everyone is thinking that he is this body. He has no information of the spirit soul. Guided by this misconception, one always thinks, this is my body, and anything in relationship with this body is mine. So that's how he ties it in. Then he gives, for such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of material existence. Actually, the conditioned souls in ignorance in this material world are simply guided by sex life, and as soon as they get the opportunity for sex life, they become attached to so-called home, motherland, children, wealth, and opulence. As these attachments increase, moha, or the illusion of the bodily concept of life, also increases. Thus, the idea that I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine also increases. And as the whole world is put into moha, sectarian societies, families, and nationalities are created, and they fight with one another. What's that? Yeah, he just, it's... Prabhupada packs so much in just a few sentences. It's one of the characteristics of Krishna that he can speak just a little bit and put so much meaning in there. All of the sages that assembled at Kurukshetra for the, what was it, the solar eclipse. And then Vasudev asked them, all the sages, now you're here, can you explain to me the goal of life? And they said, well, actually, goal of life is right here. He's your son. We should have him speak. So they spoke a little bit, but then when Krishna spoke, he just said like one or two verses, and they were shocked and amazed how he said so much in such a brief amount. It was that verse, Yatirta buddhi shalile nakar hichich janeshva bigyeshu saeva gokara. And they just said, wow, that was so good. And these are the people that are qualified to appreciate stuff, like, because that's all they do. Like an artist looking at other paintings, you know, they're going to look at it and say, they know right away, this is really good. For us, we look at it like, yeah, pretty good. But a real artist, they appreciate skill, talent, inspiration. Yeah. But, to complete that, I just want to say, and Prabhupada is like that. His writing, he's just... We get some idea what Krishna is like from reading Prabhupada's purports and from hearing about him, if this is the person that's representing him, how fascinating Krishna must be. Okay.
I was reflecting in the beginning of your class, you said people may, or not may, people accuse Creator Krishna. What is his purpose? Why I'm going through this, that, struggle, so let's blame somebody. Should be Krishna, should be blamed. But if we go to the sequence, it is I who misuse the fuel to turn away towards this allure of illusory energy. It's on. When we put my mouth inside the...
Yes. Just hold it.
So I'm back to that other purport, 429-26. I mean, I'm just reflecting. The Prabhupada gives such a beautiful sequence, what happened one after another. He didn't say one after another, but that's how he put it, like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that Krishna should be always respected and given that respect that he gave me, independent, free will, choice. Otherwise, what is my value? If I do not have free will, what is my value? What is the difference with the dead matter and me? So I made a wrong choice. I should be blaming myself. It's very simple. Even I look at Prabhupada's life, you remember one of his child wanted to touch the fan, and his wife, I mean Prabhupada's wife, did not allow because he's stubborn, he wants to touch the fan, and he's crying, he's in miserable condition. Then Prabhupada comes and he made the situation opposite. He picked him up and said, you want to touch the fan? He unplugged the fan and then he allowed him to touch the fan. Now he's crying again because it hurts. So before he was crying due to ignorance, now he's crying because of the experience. Both are like suffering, but this is better because with experience he will never touch in whole life. And if Prabhupada never allowed, probably whole life he would be blaming. I wanted to touch. I never allowed. I never wanted to touch. To be blamed for your suffering. Yourself.
Illegal laddu. Go ahead. Please help us. Jo khaya upastaya, jo na khaya
upastaya. Prabhupada, illegal laddu. Laddu of the Prabhupada quote there. Illegal laddu. Jo khaya upastaya, jo na khaya upastaya. The laddu of Delhi. I don't know where is that laddu from. But from Delhi, Prabhupada said, who ate, suffered, who did not eat, also suffered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, wow, this got really loud. Because one who hasn't eaten, he's only heard about it and wants to eat that laddu, and the one who's eaten it laments, I want another one. Yes. So this... So this chapter 4 text, or canto 4, chapter, what was it, 29? It's Narada summarizing the story to Prachina Barhi. This Puranjana, yeah. Because... Prachina Bari said, I didn't quite understand what that story was about. Can you summarize it for me? And so there it is. 26, 27. The living entity by nature has minute independence to choose his own good or bad fortune. But when he forgets his supreme master, the personality of Godhead, he gives himself up unto the modes of material nature. Being influenced by the modes of material nature, He identifies himself with the body, and for the interest of the body becomes attached to various activities. Sometimes he is under the influence of the mode of ignorance, sometimes the mode of passion, and sometimes the mode of goodness. The living entity thus gets different types of bodies under the modes of material nature. So that's the verse, and he was saying the purport really opens it up. I'm not going to open it up right now. Anything else? Hare Krishna. So that became our running joke in our reading group, that whenever anyone would ask a question, someone would reply, when the equilibrium of the combination of the three modes of nature was agitated by the unseen activity of the living entity. Equilibrium of the combination of the three modes of nature, that's like before all of creation, the three modes of nature are just lying in equilibrium. They get agitated by the unseen activity of the living entity, by Mahavishnu, and by the force of time. So, how did I get over here? How did I get to the temple? When the equilibrium of the combination of the three modes of nature, was agitated by the unseen activity of the living entities. All right, so Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.